Maybe we might have picked up the yearly promise for this year 2018. I don't know how many of us remember that promise also. Certain times we forget. And again, at the end of the year, we try to look back. What was that promise that I received? And that's how we are. And I think we need to be cautious about the promises that we receive from the Lord, and how they are being fulfilled in our lives also needs to be recognized. Every promise in the book is mine, but if there is a specific promise that you're claiming for this year 2018, you need to really prayerfully ask the Lord, in what way is He going to fulfill that particular promise in our lives? If you did not receive the sermon notes yet, please ask for one. If you need a pencil or pen also, you can ask the brothers who are walking by. We are going to conclude the sermon series on Promise 2K18 today. We have been having different sermons on this. This is going to be the seventh of the sermon series, and this would be the last one. Seven, recognizing the completion as well. The number seven, talking about the completion. We have completed 7 years of our church formation as well, and Promise 2K18, this is the seventh sermon. So for one last time, shall we all read this together, the church promise, claiming that it is God who has given me this promise, and I want to claim this for my individual life, for my family life, and my church life as well. Shall we all read this together? In from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. All together, aloud, claiming it with faith and no doubt. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You can note down the blanks there. The four jewels, as I was mentioning earlier also, the Spurgeon mentioned that there are four sparkling jewels set on a black foil. So this time I tried to put it on a black background. How wonderful it looks. On your sermon notes, it doesn't look as pretty, as you know. One thing is it's a black and white, and the other is it's on a white background. But if it was on a black background, this is how it would look. It would look perfect in terms of the jewel and how wonderfully it sparkles. And those four jewels are perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. If you want to wear jewels, these are the jewels that God is expecting us to be able to have more than anything else. I put different shapes of the jewels as well, different gemstones, just to remember the fact, next time ever you read this verse in your own personal time or family time or listen to another sermon, I hope you will remember these four jewels for life. The purpose of this series is not to just finish it and done with what next, but it is about being able to sink it deep within our hearts, asking God to be able to let this be applied in our personal lives as well. So I hope you will have this picture of the four jewels and how God is going to fulfill it in our lives. So that's why I made it very clear. May the God of all grace, that was the first sermon. The second sermon was, called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And the third sermon was, after you suffered a while. And the fourth, perfect. Fifth, establish. Sixth, strengthen. And today, seventh, which is settle. We have done deep study enough. In one verse, we could be able to really study. I don't know how many times we might have read through it, but if we go through carefully, dig deep into the facts of the Word of God, it really enables us to really appreciate God's Word and apply it in our lives. Let's pray. Gracious, loving Father, for one last time, as we are going to meditate on this particular promise as part of this series, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the God of our all mercies. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that you may guide us, Lord, and help us as we meditate on this particular aspect of settle. Won't you speak to us, Lord? Not my words, but let your words speak through me, Lord. Guide us and lead us, for we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Themelios, it means to settle, to make stable, or to make firm in foundation. If you have some other English translations, it might use the word establish because it is very synonymous to establish. Themelio means to settle, to make stable. That's where I think establish has come. Stables, established, etc. To make firm in foundation. That is the meaning of the word, the Greek word that is used here, where in the King James and New King James Version, they have translated into the word settle. When we had our house built, it did not come with a deck. And I was talking to certain builders and contractors as to what is it, when should I get the deck done. And many of them have suggested, wait for an year. Let the house settle. Because if you try to build a deck, it might stand, it might not have the same kind of a foundation. And if you try to put it, the house might settle a little bit and the variation might be there in the deck from the house itself. So I was thinking, yes, there is some settling that is happening of a house that is being built. And after it is settled well enough the first year, then you can build the deck. So I followed that. I went, I waited for a year, waited. And then towards the completion of the year, I had the deck done. So what is this settling? The word settle, if you look at an English word, the settle, it has multiple meanings or definitions. I just want to share with you quickly. Settle means to resolve or reach an agreement about an argument or a problem, to settle some disputes, you know, some discussions people have, they use the word settle. Also, settle can be used in terms of payment of a debt. The bill was settled, payment settlement had to be done. You know, such kind of word settle is used. And also, to adopt a more steady or secure style of life, especially in a permanent job or a home. They said in 1983, the family settled in London. Okay, they bought a house. They settled. I want to settle in my life. I want to get married. You know, settle. The word settle is used in that perspective as well. Or settle also can mean sit or come to rest in a comfortable position. He settled in an armchair. After everything, he just sat down and took rest. He settled in an armchair. There's one more definition of the word settle. To bring to an end or settle conclusively. To bring to an end. What a wonderful way to end this sermon series. To bring to an end, settle. Settle the matter. To be able to recognize that these are various ways, words, various ways in which this word is used in an English language. Settling, meaning to be able to give it a rest, done with. In this particular context that we are reading, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, God is promising that he will settle us forever, for eternity, that he wants to settle us, to give us rest that we need in all the struggles that we are going through in our lives. That is why, going back to the verse, may the God of all grace, if you have been following this sermon series, there's all grace, we have meditated upon saving grace, sufficient grace, and sustaining grace, sovereign grace, and God, how he has been showing forth his grace towards us, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He called us to his eternal glory. Forever, he has called us. God has really called us to his eternal glory. There are two places that we can spend eternity in. One is in heaven with our God, or eternity in hell. For that, while you're here on this earth, that is what is being decided upon, your destiny. God wants each one of us to spend eternity with him, who has called us to his eternal glory. But because of man's nature of sin and the disobedience of not being able to listen to the voice of the Lord to the extent of being able to respond to that calling, we see many ways in which people are not going to the extent that they need to respond to that calling of God. Where God is working in our hearts to be able to say, "This, come to me." He has been showing forth his grace towards us. Just this last week, a great scientist, Stephen Hawking, he passed away. I don't know how many of you have heard about him. He's a great scientist. He's a theoretical physicist. He's a cosmologist. He has discovered the black hole and many, many things that he has performed in the scientific world. In the year 2000, after I graduated from my graduate school, a few of our friends, we went to California. And there were a few other friends there, so we went to Pasadena, California, to California Institute of Technology, also called Caltech. So we've been there, we went to meet some of our friends there, and interestingly, Interestingly, there was a symposium that happened there, and various scientists from all over the world came, and one of them was Stephen Hawking. And I happened to see him. Happened to see him sitting on the wheelchair, and the same picture that you see in when you Google him, the same way in which he was in the year 2000. And when I was thinking about him, well, what a man with in such a situation that he suffered through from the age 22. He lived for 5 decades, and he researched so much in terms of being able to identify what is the scientific world, the things of this world. But one thing that really made me get surprised is he said that he didn't believe in God. He was an atheist. After all that he had studied through, his own personal knowledge of understanding could not open his eyes of understanding about the God of the creation. That reminded me of one verse from the scriptures from 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 7. Please read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Always learning. To the extent of learning, gaining knowledge, to the extent of learning knowledge, gaining knowledge, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That can come only through the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. We cannot try to achieve the knowledge of the truth of the living God, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, through our own physical or intellectual knowledge. It is a sad thing. There are many scientists who have come to know Jesus Christ through their studies and recognize that, oh, this is beyond all my measure. There is somebody who is an infinite being, who is an intelligent being beyond what I see. And that's how they came to know Jesus Christ. But there are scientists who do not have that understanding. Where do you want to spend your eternity in? You might have spent enough time going through the various things of this world. I have met atheists. After I have shared the word of God in various other places in New Jersey and other places, people came and talked to me that they said they don't believe in God. I had to talk it out with him. I didn't want to argue with them because it is not me who can convince them. But I had spoken to them about my convincing, about how I believe in the God of this universe. Because everything is scientific, he says. Even the movement from one place to another place is also a scientific. There is no supernatural thing, is what that atheist was mentioning. And I prayed for him. He said, at least I'm glad you are able to talk, because there are some other people who try to argue so much, they try to impose something on me, which I don't agree with. And he was at least opening up himself, and he started coming regularly. One Sunday he came to our church as well. And I'll share with you later on my experiences with them. So there are atheists in this world who do not believe that God exists in spite of the things that are surrounding them. So here I want to specifically mention to you, my brother and sister, that God of all grace has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He has called us. He has called us. Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will settle you. I will settle you. He wants to settle us forever in eternity. He is calling us to his eternal glory. But while he is calling us, he is giving us a caution. He is giving us a caution, which is the third line here. After you have suffered a while. When we go through the calling, when we experience the calling of God, till the extent of being able to get through that settlement in our lives, we go through sufferings. And we went through the kind of sufferings from the book of 1 Peter itself. The kind of sufferings that we were looking at. Sanctifying sufferings and also sorrowful sufferings. The spousal sufferings and many things that we have gone through, the sufferings, if you want to listen to it, you can go back and listen to on the website as well. So the point that I want to share with you is, after you have suffered a while is when you will experience these jewels in your life, in my life as well. Perfect. Remember the way in which we have studied about perfection, or in other words, completion. Or in other words, to make us what we ought to be. We sang the song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hands. That's a perfection. Establishing to be able to be strong and firm enough. That is what strengthening is. And today, about settlement. As I was mentioning about settlement, is to settle, to make stable, or to make firm in foundation. Many of us go through physical situations in our lives asking the Lord, Lord, when are you going to settle me in my life? In our spiritual life also, how much more should we be concerned about our settlement? To be able to say, God is the one who is going to settle me. I'm going through sufferings in my life, but he's going to settle me. He's settling me to the extent of being able to be firm enough that the house, how it was settling down on the foundation, God is settling me in order to be able to spend my rest of my time forever in eternity in his glory. That is what we see, firm in foundation. There is no better the passage other than being able to look at one specific aspect, firm in foundation or settlement. The same word, themelios, is also used in another place. And that is mentioned in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 25 towards the end. I'll just read. It says, for it has been founded on the rock. For it has been founded on the rock. Or in other words, themelio on the rock. It was settled on the rock. The same word. Whenever we study God's word, we need to see where else is it repeated or used. And the same word that is used, founded or settled, here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, the original word that is used is the same, themelios. And I thought it would be really nice for us to look back into this scriptural portion for us to study. Because God's word is the one that is going to help us to settle in our lives. Because God's word itself is settled forever in eternity. Psalm 119:89. Please read. Yes, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Any other language, please? 89. Nilakadaga anadi nee vakyamu nityamu nilakadaga anadi. Nilakada means being able to be standing forth firm in a strong foundation, to stand on a rock so that you will not move here and there. And that is how God wants you and I to be able to be settled, because his word itself is settled forever. His word itself, and his word is so wonderful for us to be able to meditate upon. So we are going to look at two passages. If you have your sermon notes, you can note down against the references. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. You can bookmark or you can put your finger there. And go to Luke chapter 6. Two references, okay? Two references. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. 47 to 49, sorry. 47 to 49. Note it down. Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. And Luke chapter 6, 47 to 49. This is talking about a very, very familiar story. You might say, oh, this is such a known story. What new thing can I learn? Sunday school story. Let me tell you, God can speak to us even through a well-known verse. So let us not blind ourselves to this. Maybe you have heard this n number of times. Or maybe you never heard this. This is maybe the first time. May the Lord speak to us afresh from a well-known portion, in order to speak to us as with a fresh manner. The same word of God comes to us afresh when we read it again and again. And today we are going to look at this. So keep both of your passages together and try to see how this settling has an effect in our lives. So let's look at it. Luke chapter 6. It says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words, everyone who comes to me and hears my words. You can note down the first line in that particular table that is there. You can note it down. Comes to me and hears my sayings or my words. In other words, you can write it down. Comes to me and hears my words. Everyone who comes to me. God is the one who is drawing you near to him. He says, come to me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. comes to me and hears my words or hears my sayings. Everyone, it says, everyone who comes to me. By the way, Matthew chapter 5, verse chapter 6 and chapter 7, they are famously called the Sermon on the Mount. And these last few words that Jesus has spoken are related to the passage that we are reading here in Matthew chapter 7. Those are the last words after having spoken about various relationships, various standards of living, and how the beatitudes that he mentioned, personal relationships, fasting, judging others, and many such. This is how Jesus ends it. Here in Matthew chapter 7 also, he says in verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. And then, let us notice two differences here. There are two houses here. So here he says, one side on the left side does them or acts upon them. On the right side does not do them. Both of them comes to me, hears my sayings. They are coming to God. They are listening to God. They are listening to his sayings. But there are two things that they are doing. One is they are doing, and the other one is not doing, does not do them. That is what Jesus is trying to distinguish one from the other. He does them, they hear but not do, they hear but do. So those are the two differences that we notice. And then, what does it say here? Either of the two passages, it says, is compared to a wise man who built his house. Wise man and foolish man. And that's what it says in verse 26. Does 7:26 does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house. Both of them are building the house. One is they were hearing the word of God, but they were not doing the word of God. But what were they doing in common? They were building their house. Their way of living is what it is in terms of building their house. They're building their life. They're building their their family. They're building their way of living. That is what they're doing. A wise man building his house and a foolish man building his house. The common aspect is building the house. The common aspect is coming to me, hearing my sayings. But the differences is what is mentioned in either of the two columns. Built his house. And then we notice, what did they do on either side? Let's note it down. Luke chapter 6, verse 48. Please read. 6:48. Yes, enough, brother. Who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. Please read in any other language, verse 48. Lotuga tavvi banda meda punadi vesi. So here it says, dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Notice this carefully. Maybe we never read this carefully enough to see what were the steps. Sometimes looking at passages, parallel passages, and studying God's word gives us a better understanding, my dear. So what was this wise man doing? He was building a house. But how was he building a house? Verse 48, he is like a man building a house. Building means it is a present continuous. It's a continuous sense, building a house. But as part of the building of the house, there was a foundation that had to be laid. Some of us are having our houses being built. Some of us have our houses. Some of us are going to buy houses. So that's a common aspect about seeing houses being built. But the most important part that you and I need to recognize here is dug deep. Depth is important. Depth is important. If you see the tree also, the roots, the deeper the roots go down, that is where the tree structure will stand strong. The deeper the roots go down, the deeper the foundation, dug deep. We need to dig deep into the word of God. The foundation has to be strong enough. And that is what is essential, my dear. It is our responsibility when we hear God's word that I need to dig deep. Dig deep into being able to recognize what is this God's word. And God wants us to do that. To be able to really have the strong foundation. And so here we see the foundation on the rock. The foundation on the rock. And then we also notice that in verse 49, but the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the earth or on the ground without any foundation. You can note down that one also. On the earth or the sand without a foundation. He started building. Maybe he wanted to compete with the other person. Because a lot of times our life is like rat race. Always keeping on comparing with somebody else. Oh, that person has started building the house. Why shouldn't I? Each one God has specifically given time for everything. You just can't compare with somebody else. If they have already started digging deep and they had laid the foundation and now the structure is coming, you come there and say, oh, the structure has come. I want to compete with that person. Let me start the structure. Many times we tend to compare with each other. Spiritually comparison. In terms of in life also, we tend to compare. But let me tell you, my dear brother and sister, it is important for us to know that God has called each one of us individually. And he wants us to be able to get strong individually. I need to dig deep into God's word. I want to learn God's word. There are treasures in God's word, my dear, let me tell you. Many a times we just read the word of God superficially. We don't really dig deep. Oh, I want to satisfy today's obligation of reading 5 chapters a day or 1 chapter a day. I just read it through. What is the treasure? What kind of pearls are we getting out of it? We need to be able to dig deep into the word of God. We need to study God's word. Our desire and prayer as a local church is each one of us are proper students of God's word. We need to know how to study God's word to the extent of being able to dig deep and have a strong foundation. Now let's go back to chapter 7. Compare verses 25 and 27. 25 and 27. It says here, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against the house. Verse 27, the rain fell, floods came, winds blew and slammed against the house. You can note it down. It is the same. The situations that were occurring to both the houses were the same. Note it down. The rain fell, floods came, wind blew and beat on the house or slammed against the house. Let me tell you, whatever you're building in your life, what are you building in your life? What are you trying to build? Maybe it's a family that you're building. Maybe it is your own character that you're building. Maybe it is various things on this world while you're here on this earth. When God has called you, you have to not only come to him, hear his word, but do it. We need to obey. Obedience. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is important. If you do not do them, we will be like the ones on the right side. If we do them, we will be on the left ones like a wise man. But both of them, they have built a house. Both of them had their house. The thing that is unseen is what mattered. Though I'm showing it externally, there's a rock on the left side and the sand on the right side. It is underneath. It is unseen. Externally, people might say, what a wonderful house. I don't see a difference. Oh, you took just 3 months or 1 month to finish your house? Wow, wonderful. And this person took forever to build the house, digging deep and all. But both look alike. What a wonderful thing is. Shortcuts are good. You might be thinking, externally, things we are building. But what happened? Whatever is the structure we are building, whatever situations we are building in our lives, unless they are tested, it won't show forth the result. After you have suffered a while, while we are here on this earth, we go through sufferings, my dear. It doesn't say, if the rain falls, if the floods come, if the winds blew, if they beat on the house. No. For both the houses, be it a wise man's house, be it a foolish man's house, it says, rain fell. We are bound to go through sufferings in our lives, period. Sufferings, floods came, rain fell, floods came, and then winds blew all directions. from the top, from the bottom, the floods, you know, how the things are coming out. And winds blew and beat upon the house. The house was being slammed against. My dear brother and sister, these represent the sufferings. Each one of us go through sufferings in our lives. The Bible says very clearly that as a child of God, we are bound to go through sufferings in our lives. For Christ's sake, we go through sufferings in our lives for a purpose. How are you reacting to that purpose reflects upon what kind of foundation you have laid in your life. When you're going through sufferings in your life, that is not when you think about foundation. Let me tell you. It's too late. When you're going through sufferings, already you have your house, and what happened? The point is, while you are listening to God's word, that is the time you need to lay the foundation. Not knowing when the sufferings that you are going to come across in your life. Don't say that, okay, when I come across the suffering, that is when I'll think about God's word. No. I want to think about God's word right now so that I'm prepared for the sufferings that I'm going to come across in my life. My dear, rain fell, floods came, winds blew, beat upon that house. Maybe we are beaten upon like anything in our lives. Our character is beaten upon. Our family is going through difficult situations in our lives. Maybe our future is uncertain in our lives. Many, many things that are going on. Maybe our spiritual life, we are becoming very, very victimized of the temptations that are coming on in our lives. The sufferings and the temptations and the trials that we are going through in our lives on a day-to-day basis are testing our character, are testing the things that we are building, whether we are obedient to God's word or not. Who does them? See, on the top one is what is determining what is happening on the bottom. Does them, does not do them. That is what matters. The word of God, am I obedient to the word of God? Am I following God's commandments as he wants me to? Am I living according to his word? That is very important. God has his promise of settling us, no doubt about it. But that would happen if I am having a strong foundation, and that rock is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the solid rock on which you and I need to stand upon. And that rock is Christ Jesus himself. And from that rock is where I'll be able to stand forth, my dear. Let us see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4, please. Please read. And the rock was Christ. The rock on which you and I need to build upon is on Christ Jesus. He should be our foundation. No one else. The only foundation that you can build upon your life, your family, your character, your future is upon Jesus Christ, the rock. Not on the sand. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. What was the result? What was the result? It did not fall. Verse 25. It did not fall. And on verse 27, it fell. Great was its fall. Great fall. Have you been to Great Falls, anyone here? That's a different falls. That's a waterfalls though. But the point is, here, the falls that it's talking about, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 also mentions something more about this particular aspect. Luke chapter 6. It's always good to compare, as I was telling you. Verse 48. It says, and the laid a foundation on the rock, and the flood occurred, torrent burst against that house, could not shake it. I really love this. Could not shake it. They that trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. Could not be shaken. What a wondrous way in which God has established us. He's settling us to the extent of standing on the rock. When I stand on the rock, I will not be shaken because of the circumstances that I come across in my life. Even if the kind of difficulties that I come across, I will not be shaken. My faith will not be shaken because I have dug deep the foundation. How deep the foundation should be. how deep the foundation should be so that the tree that is coming out of it is strong enough withstanding the storms in life. The house that is being built also is able to have the strong foundation. Could not shake it because it had been well built. The well built has come because of the proper foundation that was established. Verse 49. It says again towards the second half, without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and it immediately fell. Immediately. How many times we fall? When somebody says one statement, one word, immediately we tend to respond. Immediately. Words fall out of our mouth and we think, oh, I shouldn't have spoken that way. My dear, I think it's very important for us to recognize that it is very important for us to have a strong foundation enough to be mature enough to handle the troubles in our lives. There are people who may be troubling us. But how is my response going to be? Depends on you. How are you going to respond? If somebody says one word, are you going to do a tit for tat to respond the same way? You said like that? I also know how enough words to tell it. No. I want to show forth the love. I want to have gracious words in my lips. Because that's what the word of God says. And that is how I shouldn't immediately fall for the situations that are happening. It immediately falls. Otherwise, we'll be called foolish. Why? Because we don't know when to speak, what to speak. Or we don't know how to react to situations. Here, suddenly, immediately, you see the picture on the background. I don't know if you have noticed it. The tree, the house fell. The previous slides, it was both of them were standing strong. The moment the rain fell and all, on the sand it fell off. Immediately, notice the word immediately. The testing of time happens when we are really going through sufferings. Be it mental sufferings, physical sufferings, unknown, uncertain future. Immediately it fell, great fall. And then it says, the ruin of that house was great. Great fall, great ruin. Terrible. Terrible situation. But what happened to the other house? It stood strong. It was well settled on the rock. God wants to settle us to the extent of being able to say, you need to have a proper foundation. I will settle you forever. I will let you sit. Settle has come from the word seat. Seat, settle. That's a word. If you really look at the original English word that has come, it has come from the word seat. He will let us seat. I want to settle on Christ. On Christ, the solid rock. He will let us go through sufferings in our life to the extent of being able to sit, let us seat with Him. Rule with Him in eternity. Christ Jesus is coming back, my dear. He is coming back. With His eternal glory, He is going to come back. I don't know what is going to happen first. Whether we are going to be going end of life or He's going to come back. Anything could happen. There are many who are leaving this world because their time had come. And also, there's one more thing. Christ Jesus is coming back again. If we are alive at the coming of Jesus Christ, or we die and we go into eternity, whatever happens in our lives, are we ready to be able to face Him? Do we have a strong foundation in our lives? God wants to settle us. He wants to let us dig deep in our foundation. The unseen part is very important, my dear. The unseen part. Many people may not see you externally. When external appearance is being seen, oh, this person seems to be so good and all that. But your inner heart, how well you are being established, you are settling in your life, is God who is working in you. And we need to question ourselves, Lord, help me to have that wonderful experience of knowing that you are the foundation in my life. You are the foundation in my life. And you and I need to recognize it, my dear. Somebody made this statement and I wanted to share with you. It's not about hearing God's word. And also telling who He is. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me the life and live me not. You call me master and obey me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. You call me bread and eat me not. You call me truth and believe me not.
You call me Lord and serve me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. We don't want God to say that you've been talking so much, you've been worshiping me, saying, oh God, you're my master, you're my Lord. But are we obeying his word? Are we obeying his word to the extent of being able to have a strong foundation in my life, to face the circumstances in my life? Let us not just be the hearers of the word, but also the doers of the word. James chapter 1 talks clearly about the fact that we need not only to be the hearers of the word, but the doers of the word. Let's read that in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 22 onwards, listen to this carefully. James 1, 22 onwards. While we conclude this series, let us not just be the appreciators of the word of God, but those who apply the word of God in our lives. 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. You know what delude means? Delusion. What does it mean? Thinking that I'm doing something. Oh, everything is there. It is a delusion. We think that this is what is happening, but it is in reality, it's not. Who delude themselves in verse 22. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. God wants us to act upon what we are hearing. God wants us to act upon what we are hearing. Are we acting upon it? This year, 2018, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to be the people who are obedient to the word of God. Whatever be it, if I'm not obedient to God's word, I'm not a disciple of Jesus Christ, let me tell you. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You are proved to be a disciple if you obey my commandments, is what Jesus has said. So let us be obedient to the God's word. Let us not just be mere hearers of the word of God. Let us not be those who merely say God's word, but let us be the ones who do God's word. We want to be the practical Christians in our lives. I know it is not easy, my dear, to be able to put these principles in practice, especially in our family life. When we are building our homes, it is so difficult to be able to come together and build our house. But let me tell you, with God, it is possible. Let us be like a wise man building his house on a rock. Let us be like the wise woman who is involved in building up the house, but not tearing down the house, it says in the book of Proverbs. Both of you should be wise woman and wise man to build your house. And for that, you need a strong foundation. You need to dig deep. Work together in order to be able to have a strong foundation in your lives so that you are prepared for the sufferings. The rain fell, floods came, winds blew, and beat the house. Oh, my dear. What kind of sufferings are you going through right now? Maybe you need to look back and say, Lord, I did not have a strong foundation in my life. I want to make sure that my foundation is strong enough before I continue on in my Christian life. That should be our goal and our prayer. And say, Lord, you have given this promise to me as an individual, promise to me as a church, as a family also. I want to claim this promise. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. May the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. May the Lord bless this word.